Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
We need to be able to pick out God's voice out of all the other nonsense, out of all the chaos that's going on around you and maybe even in you, to be able to pick out God's voice. That we live this life in the midst of a lot of nonsense. We live this life in the midst of a lot of broken people. We ourselves are broken. And God wants to speak to us, and we go through some tough stuff, some tough things. Big decisions about relationships, careers, and future stuff, right? And isn't it true that when you're going through real big stuff, there seems like there are a million voices that are like a tsunami just coming down on you. Everyone has an opinion. And most people feel free to give you that opinion. Right? And you're like, did I ask for that? Did I ask for your opinion that you're a Chief fan? That you would come to my house? And you would have the audacity to wear shirts today. Man. In the midst of those seasons though, right? You feel like you're working your way through a hilly road, man. And it's just up and down, and it's just like, woo. And it's not like a fun woo. It's like, oh, this is making me sick woo. And your mind is racing, and you're throwing scenarios that are insane into the possibility. Sometimes you feel like you can conquer the world, and the next day you feel like, you know what? I can't wait to go to bed tonight, and it's only 9 a.m. Have you ever been there? Man, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go to bed tonight. And then Satan gets into the mix, the author of lives, whispering, shouting, you can't bounce back. You're marked. This is you. And all these voices, our voice, people's voices, our emotions, our enemies, and the enemy's voice, and yet somehow we're supposed to pick up God's voice in the middle of all the nonsense. Too often we give up too early. I'm thinking this week as I was preparing, I was thinking about just that whole aspect of trying to pick up God's voice. And my mind went to George Pinnock. If you know George, aka Radar, he's into shortwave ham radio stuff. And so I'll like pick his brain, like, where do you talk? I mean, who do you talk to, George? You like call him in the middle of the middle of their night and just say, hey, good morning, want to be the first one to wish you good morning? What do you, you know? And so he walks through that with me and talks about me. And then I'm like, hey, talk to me about the frequency and tuning in your radio so you can pick up the signal coming, bouncing across the globe. And it's a fascinating thing. But, you know, if George didn't take the time to tune in and to develop that skill, he's not going to be able to have those conversations with people across the globe. And if it's true that we can have relationship with God, which it is, that we can have, that in that relationship, he speaks. That God is a God who speaks. We know we need to hear him then. To receive guidance, to receive equipment, to receive comfort, and for him to sharpen us, and sometimes to push us forward, and other times to cover our lips so we don't say something that we don't need to say, and then to speak life into our tired spirit at times. And if it's true that the message of the angels at Christmas is that Emmanuel, God with us, I like how the message paraphrase states in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Some of us just need to leave the door unlocked so he can move in, speak to us. We need God to speak to us, don't we? And the question then becomes, if God wants to speak, am I listening? If God wants to speak and I need that, Steve, are you listening? In prayer, we talk to God and God speaks to us in time. I do believe God prompts us and speaks to us. But also in the reading of the word, of the scripture, he speaks to us. And we listen to God. And it begs us to ask the question, and it's a question that we should ask ourselves frequently and often, is, are you in the Word? If you want to know Jesus, then get in the Word. If you want to know what God is like and what God is about and the characteristics and the attributes of God and how God responds to stuff, then get in the Word. Because you and I really shouldn't be interested in our feelings and our emotions towards a subject, because our feelings and emotions will deceive us towards that subject. What's God say? Get in the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is active, it's living. Scripture teaches us that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. The Word is a weapon that we fight our enemy with. God doesn't want to just say, welcome home. Enjoy the driveway and the front step, but you can't come in. He wants you to come in and listen. The Christmas message tells us, it reminds us that God wants to do life with us, true, but we also get the opportunity every day to do that by spending time in his word. And my goal this morning is not that you would feel guilty because you haven't been in your word. You haven't been in his word. Because as we say all the time, man, guilt is a lousy motivator. Because if guilt is your motive, if you leave here this morning going, okay, man, I'm going to do this. In 3 days from now, when you miss a morning reading time, ladies, you know, those of you that are going through Women of Valor and you're like, you have more Bible reading before you than you've ever done before, and you miss a day and then you miss another day that week, and then your alarm doesn't go off on Friday morning and you sleep till 11 o'clock because that never happens, but you did it on Friday. And so now you're 3 days behind and you're like, all of a sudden, what do we do if that's our situation? We're reading for catch up, not reading for relationship. And God could care less. God could give a rip about you reading through your daily plan if it's just a task. God wants to speak to you. Not that you have the conversation with yourself of, man, I've tried, Steve. It didn't stick. I don't understand it, so that's why I don't read it. I fall asleep, or whatever it may be, but that you would understand the why. Because if we know the why we need to be in the Word, it changes everything. It moves from a religious activity that I really don't get, that I really don't enjoy, to something that's exciting and you enjoy doing it. That's the hope. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says this, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Here's the mistake we make. We open up the scripture, we look at it, and we think, that was written a really long time ago. Today is a different day. I'm reminded of a conversation Robin had with one of our neighbors back in Topeka that just had a way different view of life and philosophy and principles of life. And Robin would go for a walk with her. And one day she made the comment to Robin, you know, the Bible's just so old. I just don't see how it applies to life anymore. In a secular mindset, I can understand that, but because you're looking at it not as the power of God, not as the breath of God, you're just looking at it as ink on a page. But this book is different. we open up the Bible, and sometimes people think, it really can't speak to me about this topic today because we just live in a different day. Or our culture is just at a different place. It's okay with this topic, whatever the topic may be, because, you know, it's now, and that was back then. And the topic is totally different today than it was back then. And our worlds are far removed. And besides, that person that wrote this book that's supposed to be an inspired book, you know, he was a broken dude too, or she, a broken woman as well. And I'm broken. And so really, what do I have to learn from that? And can it really be life-giving to me if it's written by a broken person? And God is like, I knew you would go there. I knew that would be a reason that would go through your mind. And that's why I put 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 there and put it back up on the screen, if you would, knowing that, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That word carried along means produced. As they were produced by the Holy Spirit. God says, you don't have to worry that I used some human to put this thing together. The whole thing was produced through the Holy Spirit. So a key thought this morning is this: a perfect God created a perfect word, and that perfectly applies to your life today. God's word will guide you through your calling. It's a lamp unto your feet. Have you ever felt like you were in the dark and things were just cloudy and things were foggy and things were like, I don't know what to do, and you just felt like paralyzed by the moment, paralyzed by the situation, that feeling in the dark? What do? You turn on the lights. When you're in a room, you turn, Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there are going to be times when you and I are doing life and you feel like you're in the dark, and God says, get in my word and I will show you. I will give you principles from it to help guide you. Look, if Jesus is the word, and Jesus used the word, and Jesus' first message was proclaiming the word, then you can trust the word. I'll turn on the lights. I'll show you your step. I'll show you where to step. I'll guide you through your calling if you spend time in my word. The Bible teaches us that God's will is this. God's will is to guide us through our calling with the word. And God's will also equip us for our calling through the word. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Excuse me. What this 2 Timothy passage tells us is that you may not know all that God is doing in the moment. I mean, just stop and think about this, all right? We're in Christmas season right now. Do you think that Mary and Joseph fully grasped the ramifications that what was unfolding in their world in those months, leading up to the birth of Christ and for the months coming out of that event? All I knew was that God had a plan, that God wanted to use them, that God was guiding them. And he has a purpose for their life, just like he has a purpose for our life, for your life. And there will be days when you think, I can't do this on my own. And you have a lovingly, heavenly Father who is saying, you can't do it on your own, and you weren't created to do it on your own. And he is saying, that is why he gave us the word. Not only to guide you into your calling, but also to equip you as you're there. I will make sure you know where to step. As your foot hits the ground, I'm there. I will make sure you're ready to be there. I'll equip you for your calling, teaching, correcting, guiding you along the way. Through God's word, I believe that he will guide us, as I've said already, through our calling, through his word. He will equip you for your calling through his word. He will bring us success in our calling when we spend time in his word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and be very courageous, being careful to do accordingly, according to all the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua felt the weight. Man, he had to feel the weight of the calling that was placed upon him to lead the nation of Israel, to fill Moses' sandals. You know, what a high calling. He was the next guy on the, on the ladder to step into that place. He was replacing Moses. And he quit. And I can only imagine what was running through his mind as he faced that calling and that task. Am I ready for this? And God wasn't like, pfft. God was like, hey, let's go together. Verse 7 and 8, what does God speak to him? What playbook does God give Joshua? The Bible. That which the scripture that was available to him that day. God says, talk about it, get in it, read it daily. Tell other people about it. Share as you're in the scripture. Share, hey man, I was reading my devotion time today, and this thing just jumped out of the, and it just spoke to me. And just share what God is sharing to you, because you don't know in those moments what God is sharing to you may be the very thing that person that you're talking to is needing to hear. Because God is a God who speaks. And God is a God who is orchestrating and building not only his kingdom within you, but within other people. And so the question becomes this, are you in it? Are you walking around, or are you walking around in the dark, complaining and refusing to turn on the light? Because sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes we just walk around in the dark. And we refuse to turn on the light to make matters worse. You know, just a humorous illustration. Robin and I, we go to bed at night. You know, sometimes we'll read before we cut the lamp. And we're just laying there. I turn off the lamp. And the room's dark, because I'm one of those individuals that my room has to be dark. There's no night light, like, around. Because it's like, you know, the street light down the street, it's like two blocks down, but it's shining in my house, and it's like, I need to go get my BB gun and shoot that light out. I don't do that, but I'm just one of those guys, it has to be quiet, you know, so I have to go to bed at 10:01 and be asleep by 10:14 because the 10:15 train runs through town. That's me. I mean, if there's a fly in the house and it's in the next room over, I can hear that thing buzzing around at night, and it's just like magnified. And so I'll turn the light out at night. My eyes aren't adjusted yet, you know, and it's like, good night, Robin. I love you. I love you too. And you know, then I reach over to give her a kiss, right? And if my eyes aren't adjusted, I'm like, you know, right? And sometimes, I don't know why I do it. Sometimes I'll close my eyes, which makes it even worse. And I'm like, and she's like, why'd you just kiss my elbow? I'm like, I don't know. I like your elbow. But it's like, you know, that's how we are. We go around sometimes in darkness, don't we? And God is saying, I've given you light. the other Thursday night. We stayed in a motel in Oklahoma City, and I woke up in the middle of the night to need to use a restroom, and there's nothing worse than a motel room. Because I don't know about you, but like when in our house, we keep things tidy and in their place, you know, there's nothing on the floor. But when I get to a motel room, it's like, it's free game, man. Clothes are everywhere. It's not my house. You know, I treat it different. And so I'm like walking through this, it's dark. And I'm like, I know the bathroom's like right over here somewhere, and I'm walking by it. And I totally miss it. I'm like, where's the bathroom, man? I know it's here. Robin, where's the bathroom, you know? And it's dark. And everything in the room comes into clarity when you turn on the light. And I can't help but think that some of us do the very same thing in our life, trying to open your eyes. I feel like I'm in the dark about whatever. And God is going, if you will just turn on the switch, I'll help you. I have something I want to share with you. I will light up this area in your life. There will be light, and that light will guide your path. It will steady your course. It will stabilize your spirit and your emotion. It'll steady your heart. I will make sense of those areas. There's principles to apply for decisions that you and I need to make in life. In this book, I know there's issues and there's topics that are prevalent in all of our lives that Scripture may seem to be silent on, but yet there's principles within this book that will speak to those situations, but we don't know if we're not in. Let me give you an example. Well, you know, I tried once and I couldn't find an app. I didn't know what to do because, you know, I couldn't find a Bible verse that spoke specifically, you know, to that subject. Well, let me just give you a principle from Scripture. I've mentioned this one before, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. That scripture right there will answer a lot of your questions in life that appear to be a gray issue of life. And the question, as you read that scripture, as you apply that scripture to your life, the question becomes this: from that passage of scripture, what is the wise thing to do? If this is the scenario that I'm facing, God, what would your word grant me? What would your word speak to me in light of Ephesians 5:15, in light of this situation, what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experience, in light of my present circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? God, is the wise thing for me to start running with this person? In light of my past experiences, in light of my present situations, God, is the wise thing for me, you know, you all know that I'm believing someday that I'm going to have a Jeep. I don't lose sleep over this thing or anything like that, but every time I see a Jeep, I'm like, Robin, see that Jeep? She's like, yes, and there's one in the toy aisle at Walmart too. But here's the deal. All right. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So is the wise thing for me to do to go down or drive up to Newton to the Jeep dealership and say, you know what, man, it's just time. I've been wanting one of these things since I sold my Jeep to use the money to pay for my Bible college, and it's time. I just feel it. It's just, I have a witness in my spirit that it's time, and you have a red one, and red is my wife's favorite color. It's time, and on and on. But is that the wise thing for me to do? in light of my present circumstances, I have a kid in college, in light of my future hopes and dreams, to put, I would never spend $45,000 on a Jeep, but to say I want that, and so I'm doing that. Would that be wise in the light of Ephesians 5:15? Guess what just happened? God just lit my step, didn't he? Isn't it amazing? It's amazing to me, the power and the comfort that comes from the Word of God. There is no other book like it, because there is no other book that is living. I mean, the testimony of the fighter spoke of that. In Scripture, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is addressing the crowd, and he makes a comparison of you and I to a flower. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And as he makes this reference to a flower in Mark 6, he says, man, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. But I'm paraphrasing, but I care for them. I provide the sun. I provide the moisture. I provide all that they need so that they can be as beautiful as I've created them to be. And God has provided us the Word. And it's not so we can go, you know, and he makes this comparison of us being this flower, and it's not, well, I love him, I love him not. I love him, oh, he's disobeying me, I love him not. He's not doing that at all. Listen, don't stop at the hug for doing life with Jesus. Saying, I'm so excited for eternity. Get into the Word. Read the map. God is a God who speaks. He speaks in a variety of methods and in a variety of ways. And I'm so grateful for our church and for our heritage as a church. That first and foremost, God speaks through his Word. It's the measuring stick for how God speaks, but also we know in Corinthians that God speaks through a variety of spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Corinthians 12 and 14. I'm so grateful for those. So grateful for that God will use creation and nature to speak to us. And God uses other means as well, but we get into his Word. Jesus will speak to you through it. I thought about sharing some daily devotions with you just from my journal, but I opted not just for the sake of time, but you hear us talking about soap as an acrostic, that you, I don't know how to study Scripture. Well, just do the soap method, and it's just really easy. You read a portion of Scripture, whether it's a chapter or it's a few verses, and you, out of those Scriptures that you read, in that setting, what sticks out to you? Which one just grabs you that day? Sometimes there'll be a day that nothing grabs you, and don't freak out about that. That's okay. But on the day, there'll be a Scripture that grabs you more than maybe on another day, but the Scripture that kind of pops out at you, write it down. That's the S. And then make an observation about that Scripture. What's going on around it? Make an observation, and then the A in soap is the application. How is this applying to my life right now? And then the P is just write a prayer. Say a prayer. God, I thank you that your Word says that it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you, God, that I know that I can walk confidently as I live according to your Word today, that you're going to guide my step. It's amazing as you do that all through your day, that starts coming back to you. It's good. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And as you read the Word, God is going to speak to you. Have that, church. Can I pray, have that expectation. There's been times I've read my word and I read my daily devotion, and I read it, to be honest, more probably out of duty and assignment than out of expectation. And there's been times when I've done that, and guess what? I'm grateful for it, that I had that time. I don't regret that I did that. But man, I tell you what, it's totally different than when I come into that time with the Lord with an expectation. God, I thank you. I pause before I open up my Bible and I say, thank you, God, that you have something that you want to share with me today. As I look at your scripture, I thank you that you're gonna point something out to me today. And there's this expectation, and God speaks. First Kings, it tells us that at times God is going to speak in a still, small voice. And one of the coolest reports coming out of the overflow retreat that we did last month was this, and I've heard it over and over again. What was your highlight of the weekend? What was your highlight of the retreat? Was it the speaker? Was it the worship? Was it, you know, the fact that you got to sleep in a bunk bed and you survived? What was the highlight? And over and over and over again, it was the solitude times. The times that were built in were, we were just made to step away, just by ourselves, our Bible and our journal, get away to a quiet spot and let God speak to me. Over and over and over, young and old that were there, that's what their highlight was. Why? Because you make space. And when we make space, God speaks. And when we make that space and God speaks, we become familiar and more attuned to his voice, so that when the chaos of the life and the chaos of the ring, of the fight is going on, we're like, oh, that was my trainer. That was my lead right there. He spoke. And you know how to respond. Have you ever read the Bible? And maybe you read a passage of scripture 100 times, right? You read the thing 100 times and you read it that one time and it's just like, boom, lights come on, and God is just speaking so clearly to you. It's lighting your world. And more we get familiar with this word in private, the more and more we will recognize it in the chaos of our days. Again, referencing the video, remember what the coach said. He hears my voice so much in here, in the training area, that they recognize it on fight night. Spending time in God's presence in private so that we can pick his voice out in the chaos of our regular day. In the chaos and the hustle bustle of the holiday season, the worship team would come. I'm not trying to add anything. Understand my heart, please. I'm not trying to add something else to your task list for the day. I'm not trying to weigh you down with some spiritual activity. I want us to have a life-giving relationship with Jesus that changes your life. Changes how you view life. Changes how you approach life. I want you to pull up a chair at the table of the Lord. My mind goes to our series in Psalms 23. In the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, in the midst of that valley, there's this table that's loaded with an incredible meal. And I want you to pull up that chair on a daily basis or majority of your week and spend time in the living Word of God. You know what Jesus' menu for you is? John chapter 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. My challenge for you is to spend some time alone with the Word of God so that you can recognize his voice. Steve, what do I do, man? I have a house full of kids that are tugging on my pants. screaming at the door, let me in. How do I do that? You know what? God is able to take a little, even if it's a verse. That's all you can get because the kids are like, Mom! Your husband's like, Honey! It's just a verse that you can go, okay, this is the living, active Word of God, and it's going to give me life today. Spending time alone with the Word of God so that you can recognize His voice. Because come fight night, because come chaos, because on a cold, silent night, on a hillside in the Middle East, God showed up, fulfilling the prophecies of His Word, and the Word became flesh and instructed us to be doers of the Word. That's what I want for you. You know, the reason we live in Valley, and most of us know this story, is because of what I'm telling you. Matthew 6 compares us to a flower. It's not, he loves me, he doesn't love me, type of flower conversation. I mean, I'd feel more like manly if he would have compared me to an MMA fighter. But he compares us to a flower. And he says, you flower, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to cause you to bloom. I'm going to cause you to plant. I'm going to cause you to live through the storms and the trials of life so that you can continue to speak of my splendor and my glory. And we're here today. We're here in Valley Center because God spoke to us and He confirmed it through His Word. And it's so fun to live in that way. And so as we just step into a time of worship, I'm asking you, just because we're stepping, we change our order of service, doesn't mean that service is over. Don't miss a moment to love on Jesus and let Jesus love on you. And as we go through this set of songs, if you're just like, you know what? I just need the Word to speak to me right now. Then it's all right if you want to sit down while everyone else around you is worshiping and open up your Bible or open up your Bible app, whatever you need to do, and just open up and begin to read the Scripture. You know, the Bible's not like, as it's been said, the Bible's not like any other book, because the Bible is the only book whose author is present with you when you read. I love that. It's almost like I can hear the chair being pulled up as I open up the Word and God begins to speak to me. Father God, I thank you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, that you modeled living and relying on the Word of God. Lord, building yourself up, using it to build yourself up, speaking it into life situations, receiving counsel, receiving life from it. And Lord, that you fulfilled the Word because you are the Word. But Lord, you've admonished us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Lord, we thank you for leaving us this book that God, we're not wandering through life aimlessly or without direction, but God, you do give us counsel through this book. And Lord, when Scripture appears to be silent, or Lord, we don't know what to do on an issue because we don't know where to find instruction, Lord, I pray, put people around us that we could glean from, but also, Lord, just help us to be students of the word. Help us to search the scripture and to study it, to show ourselves approved. God, we're going to stand here in a moment. We're going to worship you with song. But Lord, part of our response today is just having some conversation with you about your word. But also maybe there's someone here this morning that part of what they need to do is begin a relationship with you. And so Lord, they're here today and they're sensing something different. Lord, they're sensing a tug on their heart to explore what it means to follow Jesus, to have a relationship with you. And Lord, if that person's here during this worship time, Lord, may that longing and that urgency grow even stronger. And Lord, we'll speak to them here in a few minutes about that.
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.